Well, I just want to thank the ladies who do play the instruments for us, and thank you both for playing. Wasn't it wonderful? Love to hear both instruments. And, you know, you have a huge part in the service. The music sets the tone for the service, and the music, the Bible says, is praise to God. And that's, I mean, what did we come for? But to honor Him. So thank you. You had a huge part. And thank you everyone for singing. But you know, that's part of the service. It's not just something we do in tradition. There's a reason for it. And I sure am glad that God is worthy to be sung about. And what a wonderful Savior. I've got a message today, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 on down through chapter 4. And so, it's not a long, lengthy message, but it's power-packed. And I've studied this passage over and over and over all week long. And I've been trying to say, Lord, what do you have for us in this message? Because there's so much there. When you give a message, you need to have a specific topic in mind or a specific thing for the people to leave with. Because there's so much there and so much to learn, but what do you want us to remember? I don't know about you, but I can only remember a few things. I've got what they call a one-track mind. And, you know, I can do two things at once, but I'm on two tracks, so I don't do either well. And so if you want me to do well, I need just one thing to do. My wife's smiling back there because she knows that's true. And but same thing when we come out of a church service. We need to have gotten something special for ourselves. And I would feel such a failure as a pastor if I left you with nothing. And, you know, my whole burden is if I'm going to take the time to present God's Word, to do it well. And so I know I can't, so I ask the Lord if He would just give you something really special again today, and I trust that He will. So what we're going to do to start off with is read 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 12, and I'm going to read on down through chapter 4, verse 5. Not a lengthy passage, but a tremendous passage. So looking at verse 12, follow along as I read. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." You know these verses, don't you? "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the working of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry." Let's go ahead and pray, and let's get the Lord's blessing and help today. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love You. And Lord, we are here to get Your Word. People drove a long ways to be here today, and they're taking other valuable time to hear Your Word. So Lord, please don't disappoint anyone. Help everyone here to leave with exactly what You'd have for them to have. And then Lord, may You not be disappointed either. Lord, just work mightily today. Give us Your truths. And this I ask in Jesus' name and for His sake of His church here. Amen. You know, we've been talking here about our plans for 2017. And we talked about the first message that we need to make plans. And, you know, I might ask questions. Have you sat down yet and made plans for 2017? I'm going to get to that. Well, you're almost a month out already. And so it doesn't take long for the year to slip us by. Second thing we learned is that there's certain things, guidelines that God has for us that helps us make those wise choices and plans. And today, it continues along that theme about a challenge here. And I couldn't come up with a title of the message. I had different ones, and now the person up there in the sound booth is listening closely because he's got to get the title of the message, right? And they're going like, what's the title? Well, here's the title that I believe the Lord wants. Are you honest with yourself? Are you honest with yourself? And this is an interesting topic, but it is so true. Can people be dishonest with themselves? Now, really, now, I mean, you know exactly what you're saying. Can you lie to yourself? And could you actually believe it? you know, people know, if you haven't much experience at all, that you can make yourself believe whatever you want to believe, and that's not being honest with yourself. And so here in God's Word, He has a challenge for us, and He asks, are you honest with yourself? And so I'm talking to believers today. Now, there is part of the passage here in verses 14 and verse 15 that talks about salvation and how a person becomes a child of God. But I'm basically speaking today on those who have received Christ as their Savior, those who are children of God. What does God have for me? How can God help me to be honest with myself? Because is it possible for Christians to be dishonest? We already talked about it. Yes. And we can be deceived into believing something that's not true. I don't want that in my life. How many of you guys like being tricked? How many like to be deceived? How many of you like to go down and buy a brand new vehicle and find out it was used and it doesn't run? That happened to me, yeah, right? People are saying, oh, that happened. Or how many of you would like to buy a piece of property and find out it's not all it was meant to be? I remember years back I was in a church and someone gave them a piece of property and they were all excited about it. And they had this piece of property on the books and it was supposed to be worth some money and it was interesting. And so we decided one day they needed some funds for something. We'll just sell that piece of property. And they found out it was swamp and they couldn't get rid of it. You know, so it wasn't quite what they thought it was. And for all this time they were believing. And so they didn't check it out. So if you don't check things out, you don't know the facts, it's easy to be deceived. But none of us like to be. You know, and so that's the message today. I just want to challenge us. First of all, you know, Paul here is preaching a message. Let me give you a little background. If I was to slip back to verse 10 and 11, it tells how Paul had worked so hard. He had dedicated his whole life to serving God. Now, how many of you would like to have the testimony that Paul had? How many of you would like to receive the rewards that Paul received when he stood before the Lord? How many of you would like to hear the words, well done? Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is what? Laid up for me, a crown of righteousness. And you know what? He said that crown's available to who? All those who love His appearing. What does it mean to love Christ's appearing? That means I am living right now in such a way that I'd be excited if Christ came back right now. You know? And so that's really kind of puts things into perspective. If Christ was to come back before 6 o'clock, I asked the adults in the Sunday school class, if He were to come back today, tonight, would there be anything different you would do this afternoon? And, you know, think about that for a minute. Would you do anything different if you knew for sure it was going to be tonight? And so, with that in mind, Paul was ready. Paul couldn't wait to get to be with the Lord. He said, but I got to stay here because it's helpful to you. And he didn't say that begrudgingly. He loved the people, but he realized that the heavenly home is better than an earthly home. So what did he say he went through? Verse 10, he says, for thou hast fully known my doctrine. That's his teaching. He says, so you know what I teach. And he says, you know my manner of life. You know what that says there? He walked the walk, and when he talked the talk. In other words, he didn't just preach and say, you should do this. He did what he said. You know, how many of you find it easier to listen to someone's instruction when they practice what they preach? We can respect someone like that. Isn't it hard to obey someone who doesn't do what they say themselves? And we lose respect for those kind of people. And so here, Paul said, here it is. You've known my doctrine and you know my manner of life. You've known my purpose. What was Paul's purpose? And I hope it's yours. His purpose was to what? Spread the gospel of Christ to as many as he could. He said, God save me. Remember, he was mean and cruel before he got saved. And he said, God, turn my life around. He said, I want you to experience that too. That's my purpose. He said, you know my faith. You know who I trust in. You know my long suffering. Well, where did he become patient? And by the way, was Paul patient? Some areas he was very solid. He said, if you're going to start twisting the scripture and perverting doctrine and saying lies, I don't have any time for that. But he was very patient with people. He was very patient in continuing on in the work of God. It says here, my charity. What is charity? That's godly kind of love. So Apostle Paul had all these things. And my patience, my persecutions and afflictions. Now, what kind of persecution did Paul face? Well, in order to preach the Word of God, which was not popular with the Jews at that time or the people, and by the way, it's not always popular today, even in America, but in order for him to preach the gospel, he suffered persecution. Now, how many of you feel that being caught by robbers on your way from one church to another would be kind of persecution? How many of you feel that being shipwrecked would be discouraging to your missions work? You know, how many of you, if you went to a town and you preached the gospel message and they took you out and they stoned you with literal stones until they thought you were dead, how many of you would be encouraged in your ministry? I'd have to say, okay, am I getting a message here? If nobody wants it, why give it, right? But the Bible says, as all the Christians were standing around Paul looking at him, bemoaning the fact that he was dead, what did he do? He gets up, brushes himself off. He says, let's go back to town. What did he do? He encouraged the believers. He didn't say, oh, encourage me to keep preaching. No, he encouraged them. He said, don't give up. Oh, they do this to me. No big deal. I'm going to serve God anyway. Because I have a purpose. I have other people who need to hear. And if these people don't want to hear, someone else needs to hear. And if I stop because of them, the others who might receive won't hear. So I'm going to keep on going anyway. And you need to keep on. So there's some that hate to hear about God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. And so we need to keep preaching hope. And so he did. He said, I had suffered persecution and afflictions, which they came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. He said, what persecutions and I endured. But out of them all, did you see what he says? The Lord delivered me. So who would you count on when you're going through a hard time? And Paul said, the Lord delivered me. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now I have to admit, as I've been quoting this verse and using that as a verse of encouragement, it says, I think, pretty much forgetting one of the words. I've been kind of saying in my mind, I don't know if I've been saying it out loud, and I don't remember, but I thought I might have been saying, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But did you notice what it really says? Yea, and all that will live godly. And I want to challenge every person here today, young people especially, that this is a choice that you and you alone will make. Will you choose to suffer persecution for Christ? Because I want you to know that a true Christian is going to face some persecution. And you have to decide, am I going to serve God or not? You'll find out that if you serve God, you're not going to fit in. And so it's a tough choice to make. But I want to challenge, and I hope that everybody that comes to this crossroad, by the way, in your life you'll come to decisions. And you know what? We don't like to make decisions. How many of you like to make decisions? I find that people don't like to make decisions. Too many choices. They want choices, but it's hard to make the choice, right? You know, you get the birthday box out here for the kids, and they come up and they look in there, and there's all kinds of toys. You can have one. One? Because what's their choice? All of them. Right? And then in the Christmas or whatever, I noticed that you used to get gifts for the kids and they would open all their packages. You guys like doing that? You ever get packages at Christmas time? And they open up, or their birthday, and they open them all up, and guess what they do? They play with the box. But what I found out is if we would give them one gift at a time, they would open it and play with it for a long time. You know, so we're not good at making decisions. And when we have decisions before us, many times we get confused by the whole works and we don't choose any. And so what I want you to realize is that God brings you in your life to areas where you have to make a choice. And I ask you, choose God. It's the best choice. It will never let you down. But I know it's not the easiest choice. But we need to realize when we're young that we have to make those choices. It's not just an easy thing. And if you aren't going to choose God, you're not going to live for God. That's just the way it is to it. You're going to stumble through life. It has to be a solid... This is where you separate the men from the boys. This is where you separate people of character and quality and grit from people who are just pacifists. Young people of all times in their life, when we want to enjoy things and just take it easy, we have to make the hardest decisions. And so I'm challenging you. God says here at the crossroads in your life, but who's he talking to here in this passage? What book is this? Timothy. Do you realize that Timothy is young? And he's saying, young man, I got to tell you, serving God is very rewarding. But there's a lot of pressure in it. So if you're going to do it, you need backbone and you need grit. And you need to say, I'm going to serve God no matter what. So there's the choice. Are our young people able to make a commitment like that? Are our kids strong enough? I say our kids are strong enough. I'm challenging you today to make that super commitment. Because it's not easy. So You know, the military seeking what? The Marines. A few good men. You know what they say? We know it's not for everybody. You know, those who want to stay home and be pampered by mom, don't come. But we want some men. You know what Jesus is looking for? He's looking for some people with backbone who will stand up and do something. And that's what we need. So, as I move on the message here, that's what he said, I have done, and I'm challenging you, Timothy, to do so. And he says, yea, and all that will. You see, it's your choice. And you better know this. If you will, then you're going to suffer some persecution. So just decide ahead of time. Determine to do what God wants. So as we go on, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do we see this happening around us? People preaching false truths, false doctrines, leading people astray, promising easy living and do this and do that, and God will just bless. And just, you know, God does bless. But we don't make deals with God. God already says what you do and what blessings it brings. It's simple. But anyways, we go on, he says, but continue thou. You know, there's men who are going to turn away from the Bible and they're going to live a life and deceive their own selves. But can I challenge young people here, you, Timothy, can I challenge you this? Continue in the things which thou hast learned and consider who you learned them from. Who had Timothy learned the gospel from? Anybody know? And in the scriptures it talked about his grandma and his mother. And now the Apostle Paul. In other words, what he's saying is you can trust the people who taught you. Timothy's grandparents, I bet you his grandma was a godly lady sitting there teaching him. And his mom, I trust that she was a godly lady. And Apostle Paul, I know what he was like. He's a godly man. And he said, so you know they weren't pulling your strings. You know they weren't in it to fool you. They were in it for what? So you knew the truth. And he says, so you know who taught you the scriptures, so stick with them. Stick with them. You don't know these other people who are coming and giving you all these fake promises. Stay with the Word of God. And then he goes on. He says, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Did you notice something here? It is a huge blessing to grow up in a Christian home where you've been taught the Word of God. And I don't ever want you to miss the blessing you've had. You know, I meet a lot of people who didn't grow up in a Christian home, and they faced a lot of very difficult home situations in life. And when they come to the Lord, guess what? They're excited about serving God because you know what? They know the huge difference between living in the world and now living for God, and the freedom is there. But you know what happens when we're in a Christian home? We're sheltered. And we're protected from all the bad in the world and all the things that hurt. And the only thing that we usually see when we're in a Christian home, by the way, I was raised in a Christian home, so I can relate. And as I was growing up, I used to look around me. I go like, you know what? I sure am missing out on a lot of stuff. If I would have been like that person and I got saved, I was saying, I'd have this awesome testimony to tell the world of what God saved me from. And look, you know, I really think that stuff's fun. And if I did it with very carefully, I wouldn't get in trouble. I could handle that because I now know this much of how to keep myself safe. And I could see the dangers before they came. You know what I have learned from these people that have gotten saved from the world's background? Here's what they say. I don't understand why people who grow up in a Christian home want to mess with this stuff. It's 100% dangerous. I wouldn't have anything to do with it anymore. And you know what? The problem is because we haven't really seen the ugliness of the results of that it's alluring to us. But what he's saying here is, I just want to challenge you. You've grown up in a godly home, Timothy. Don't take that for granted. Enjoy the protection it gave you. Now go on and use that blessing you've had in your life to do great things for God. He said, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You've known how to be saved since a young age. I don't know. How many of you here have gotten saved, if you don't mind, under the age of 12? Wow. That's quite a few. And what I want to say is, that's a blessing. To know the Lord at a young age. To be able to grow up and serve Him with your whole life. I used to have problems with not having that cool testimony. But you know what I can tell someone now? By the grace of God, I am not in prison right now for murder. And they're going like, what? if I hadn't known the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, if He hadn't guided me in my life, if it hadn't been for His influence, I could well be a murderer today. And I could be in prisons paying for that. You see, I have every benefit and more. Because God has delivered me from that in my testimony. And He also kept me from having to suffer the consequences of that. Because you know what? Could someone in prison who has murdered someone get saved and be forgiven? And he could. But you know where he's going to be? In prison. Because if you go and get saved in prison, you go, well, I got saved, you going to let me out now? No. So we miss the consequences of sin too. And so what a blessing. He said, Timothy, you've known how to be saved. You got saved at a young age. And he says, I just want you to stay in those truths. And I want you to trust the Bible that you have. Verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God gave it. Every bit of it. None of this is man's idea. It's given of God. And it is profitable. How many of you like profit? All right. You ever do a lemonade stand? What did you get? Any of your kids ever do anything for business? I know some people deliver papers. Anybody? Any other businesses kids might have done? Yes. Oh my, hot cocoa would be a good one right now, wouldn't it? Okay, so we're selling. Now, how many of you like to make money when you do that? All right, so that's profitable. Profitable means you get a benefit from it. So serving God and reading the Bible is profitable. The Bible says it is profitable. What is it profitable for? For doctrine. By the way, that's just a big word that they get scared of today. That means teaching. But the Bible will teach you how to live. How to live successfully, joyfully, and with purpose. The second thing is profitable for what? Reproof. Ooh. What is reproof? Anybody know? That sounds like a word I don't want used on me. I don't want anybody... It sounds kind of cruel. Reproof. It sounds like when I was doing something I wasn't supposed to, my mom came into the room. That ever happened? You know, everything's going good and fine until reproof. Reproof is showing us where we're messing up. How many of you like to be told you're messing up? The more mature you are, the more you'll like it. Because if you're caught and you're messing up early, it can save you a lot of grief and time. You know, I don't like people that reprove me after the job. You know, someone that sits back and goes like, they're doing it all wrong, now they're going to have to redo it. How many of you like it if I had you paint a room and I saw you grab the wrong color, so I let you paint the whole room blue before I told you it had to be red, and then you had to go redo it? You go like, that wasn't very nice. You could have told me. Oh, I said, well, you know, I don't like to reprove people because they might get upset. So we need to realize that reproof is to let us know that we're going in the wrong direction, and it can stop us before we end up with any more damage. So reproof. Correction. Well, isn't that the same as reproof? No, it's not at all. Correction is sending in the right direction. In other words, like saying, did you realize that this room wasn't supposed to be this color? Oh, it's not. Oh, you're kidding me, right? Oh, I've got all the paintbrushes, everything all set up. Oh, you're kidding. No. Well, what color is it supposed to be? Blue or whatever. Change the color. It should be whatever it should have been on the sheet. Oh, no. Well, correction is telling you what it should be. Let's get it. Here, let me help you get the paint. Now, you probably appreciate that. Let me help you get things set up and we'll go the other direction. That's correction. And then what's the last one? Instruction in righteousness. Now, this goes beyond to say, now from now on, here's how you know what color to paint it. If you go and check the sheet here, on the boss's form, you'll know from the top what it's supposed to be. How many of you have ever been told the wrong thing? Did it and got in trouble for it? I still remember the time on my very first job as a quote-unquote adult. I mean, I was still in high school and I had my first, and I was working. I'd go to school half the day and I'd get my credits, and then I went and worked full-time. And so I was working this job in my senior year. And I still remember that I had talked to someone, and they told me that I needed to do, that I could do such and such, and that I should do such and such. And so I followed what they said because they were my boss's boss. And so I did what I was told to do. And all of a sudden, halfway through the day, I get a page over the intercom for me to come to the office. Now, whenever you hear your name called over a PA system, it's usually bad. You know, unless you know you're getting rewards. It's going, could Corey Pepley please come to such and such an office? I'm going like, ooh, that's my boss's 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 boss. So I go over there and I go, "Yes, sir. This is, you know, come on in." He said, I said, "What's the deal?" He says, "Well, I just want you to know that we're not too pleased with you stealing all that stuff. And it's been reported to us that you stole a bunch of product, and so you're going to be fired." And I said, "Stole stuff? Be fired? Someone else in the room? I don't steal stuff, and I don't care to get fired. What's going on? Didn't you do such and such and put this stuff in such and such a vehicle?" "Yes, I did." "Well, you stole it." I said, "But my boss's boss told me to do this, and I was just obeying orders." He said, "Are you sure?" "Well, of course I'm sure." And they started to search it out. And guess what? The boss's boss wouldn't admit that he had told me to do such and such, because now guess whose job was on the line? He didn't have authority to do so, and I was following his authority, and he didn't have it. So they had talked then to my boss, and my boss had said he would never do this on his own. And he had this permission, and so they said, "We don't know who's at fault. You've got a good character reference, so we're going to give you another chance. But if anything like this happens again, you're fired." You know what? I almost lost my job because someone gave me bad instruction. And so I don't want to trust them. So guess what I should have done? He said, "You should come and ask me." I mean, how often do you go ask your boss's 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 boss? So it was to me like it was a no-win situation, but God protected me in the situation. But what do I do in my daily walk? My daily walk and choices for life, you never know if the person giving you the advice is right or wrong unless you go to the head boss. And the head boss is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's written down in the Word of God what He expects, and that's what He's saying. This here is your true guide. You know what? Someone you trust and love may steer you wrong. Maybe not even intentionally. That guy really thought he could do it, and he should have stood behind it. He didn't steer me wrong on purpose. But someone else had reported it because they wanted it, and the whole thing came to pieces. But the point of the matter is, if I'd went to the boss, would it have ever happened? And the whole point is, if you go to God, He says His Word will protect you. So to wrap things up in the next few minutes, God says here, you need to know my word. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, "I charge thee therefore." Do you see what that word charge is? That word charge here means to proclaim or to place a command upon someone. He says, "I am placing God's command on you." It says here, "I charge you" how? I charge thee before myself? Before some rich person or before somebody else? No, he says before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And who's going to judge us for what we do? And it says right there, Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So when we stand before Him, He's going to be the judge. Now I hope you're at the first judgment. I hope you're there as a believer at the judgment seat of Christ, not at the great white throne judgment. How about you? But I just want to challenge you this, that we're going to stand before Him, so who are we better be right with? The judge. So going on. And so he says here, Timothy, young man, he says, preach the word. Now, did you see that word preach? That's hard for me. Now, a pastor, the Bible says, needs to preach and be apt to teach. I like to teach. All right? I don't like to preach. You're going like, well, what are you doing up there? I'm trying to preach. But it's hard for me to preach because what does preach mean? Preach means to proclaim the truth with authority, without apology, without any reservation. Because what you preach is you're proclaiming a message from a higher authority. Preaching is, in here in the Bible, defines like a herald, a person who sends a message for a king. So if a king came into town and says, the king has made a new law, and he tacks it up on the post and he proclaims it, does he go like, I hope you guys want to obey this? The king sent a decree for everybody that wants to hear this. You don't want to hear it? Oh, okay, well, I'll put it away. What would he do? He tacks it up on the post. This is the proclamation of the king. Well, we don't like you. I'm sorry, but you better like that. Because he's the one that's going to judge. And that's what preaching is. It's like, thus saith the Lord. When I stand up here and say, the Bible says this, it's not an option. It's not at our whim. It's not, Pastor, you didn't present it properly, so I'm not doing it. I'm sorry, it's tacked on the wall. It's true, whether I do well or not. So preaching is proclaiming God's Word. Now, we do it in love, but it doesn't change, right? That's preaching. Teaching is what? Where I like to be, because I can just sit down and say, here's what God says, and here's how it works, and here's how it'll help you in your life. But preaching is just saying, this is the way it is. So what does he say here? To preach the Word. Now, when? It says, be instant in season and out of season. What's instant? How many of you like instant pudding? Oh, there's some people that like that stuff. Okay. Instant pudding. Why do they like it? Well, the cooks like it because you don't have to stir so long. But I can tell you what, you make me a chocolate pie, one of my favorites, and you put instant pudding in versus the real stuff, I'll know right off. Oh, that real stuff is just so creamy. But you know what? Instant here goes along with, why do we make instant pudding? It's quick. Right? It's quick. Why do we have microwaves? Because we like it quick. Because quick means now. Right here in the present. And so the Bible says, be standing in the present right now. Be instant when? Be standing there in season and out of season. Now, I am a pastor, and I like to preach when it's in season. You know, I get up here and I say, I'm going to proclaim the Word of God. And I look at the face and they go like, we're ready to hear it. And I let them have it and they go like, amen. And I go like, yes, in season. And then I get up here on another day and I get ready to preach the Word of God. And people are sitting there not happy today. And I'm not happy with you, preacher. And I'm just plain not happy with the world. And prove it to me. Now it's out of season. Am I still supposed to preach it the same way? You know how hard it is? And you know what God told the prophet? Don't look at their faces. You know, because I can't tell what's on your mind. Maybe God's speaking to your heart and you're going like, ooh. You know, that really is talking to me. And I'm thinking you're going like, ooh, I don't like what he's saying. And I'm getting in the wrong thing. So what's the point? The God is saying, young people, when God has a job for you do it when it's popular and when it's not. You know what? I found out most of the time it's not. Most of the time, it's not really in season. And you know when I found this out? When I was in high school. I haven't found yet a high school where everyone loves everyone. You know what I found out in every high school? There's cliques. There's a group of people who've been there all their life, and they are the popular ones. And then there's another group of popular ones. And then there's this other group of non-populars, but they get together because they're not populars. And then you have over here this group who... wannabes. They just want to be in one of the groups. Let me be in the non-populars, but they won't even let me in there. And then if I'm in that group, I want to be in the next group, and I want to be up to be the popular populars, right? You know, we used to have the saying, us four, no more. I went to a Christian school. That would be a perfect place to be popular, right? You'd fit in if you're a Christian. Nope, because there's bad attitudes there too. And I still remember one day I was coming back from the gym class, and it was in the gymnasium, was like four blocks away from where the next class was. And I was walking back after the showers and everything and sports, and I was walking along with some other guys. And, you know, they were more in the popular crowd. They were the dudes, you know, they had everything that was cool. Most likely to succeed. Class presidents, you know how it is. Kids, you're there with me, right? So we're going along and they're singing this song. And they're singing in harmony. I like to sing in harmony. I enjoy quartets. I enjoy that kind of thing. So I wanted to sing in harmony. So I said, hey, I don't know this song. Teach me this song. And I said, get lost. Not to be deterred. I can sing. I can fit in that way. I come out, I can do it. No, get lost. But I can do it. You know what they said? This is a song you don't sing. Now, how did they know that? I didn't know what the song was. Just had good harmony. I wanted to learn it. I memorized the words that I heard them sing, and later on I found out what the song was. You know what? I didn't want to sing it. You know what? They knew. I didn't fit in. Not because I was a jerk. Not because I wasn't valuable, but because they knew that my stand was not going to be where they wanted to be. And so I would never be able to fit in no matter how hard I tried. And I learned back in high school, in a Christian school, that if you want to serve God, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And is it persecution for a young person not to fit in? Huge. We all want to fit in. By the way, adults don't care, right? Wrong. We still want to fit in too. It gets a lot easier, I've noticed, as I get older. But it's still, we all want to fit in. So moving on, it says here, be instant in season and out of season. I know it's not easy, and the only way you're going to succeed is to really determine to do right. I want to share another illustration. I was still in my senior year. And like I said, I had a full-time job. I was working in a big factory that took up a whole city block. They had other buildings also to contain some of the other things. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the most popular businesses that's not known, if that makes any sense. But how many of you ladies have ever opened up a magazine and inside they had a free sample? You know, you peel it open and you can rub it on. And you can actually see what that perfume will smell like on yourself. Because it smells differently for different people, right? And so you've done that. This company has the patent for that. So if you have that, it came from them. As a matter of fact, years back I used to say I may have had my hands on it, but it's probably been there. Most of it's gone by now. Anything I touched over there. But anyway, I worked there. Guess what? There was only one other believer. There's two other believers that I knew of in that plant. Okay? And so one of them was my foreman. And he didn't talk about God at work because he didn't want anyone to think he was weird. And there was a young man in Bible college. He's going to be a preacher. So he would be one you'd latch on to, right? If you wanted a friend, you would go to a preacher friend, right? So one day, I got cornered for my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because they knew I was a Christian. And they always were trying to see if they could get me to do something Christians aren't supposed to. And they were all around me and they were just harassing me to no end. And in came my preacher buddy friend. Do you know how excited I was to have support? Have you ever been excited? There he is! Hey! And I called his name, come on over! And he came over there, and he realized that everybody was making fun of me, and guess what he did? He joined in. And I looked at him, and I went, are you kidding me? You're a preacher! Help! I took off. I couldn't handle it. Now, forgive me, I was young. All right, I'm a teenager. So I ran away and hid in a room where no one could find me, down into the machinery. I went down in around the machine so it was racket and so much noise they couldn't find me, couldn't hear if I was breathing. I just hid down there for a while, and I was just devastated. And you know what that did to that preacher? Young preacher. He's a young preacher. He was studying to be a preacher. It broke his heart. I could hear him calling through the plant, calling my name. He was looking for me, but he had hurt me. He came back later and apologized, and he was so sorry that he didn't take a stand. He was what? He said he was swayed by everybody else. He was embarrassed to take a stand. So sometimes, even though you're younger, you'll have to take a stand, and no one, even other believers, will stand with you. He's saying, Timothy, you got to be taking a stand in season and out of season. Was it worth it? Yeah, it was. Because you know what? As I was working with one of those guys later on, probably about 6 months, well, no, it had been about 4 months later, we have a paper cutter downstairs that cuts paper. Well, we would cut all of those big piles of those envelopes. They would be cut and then ran through a machine and made into an envelope so it would stick in the book, like you open up. And so we were cutting those things before. My job was to sweep the floors. His was to cut. You know, I was a floor sweep and maintain the plant and keep it clean. So it was late at night, and on the weekends I would work till midnight because that's the only way when no one's there to get all the floors waxed and clean. And so one night here is this guy. He's still working at the cutter. He's got must biceps on him that would rip, you know, any jacket that you would wear to church. And he's got big old tattoos and the Hell's Angels on his. And he's just this big tough guy. And there was quite a few of those big guys there. And so he was working away, and I came over and I started helping him. And he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, you're here late, right?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "But we got to get this job done." I said, "So you want help, right?" He said, "Really? Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm here anyway. I'll help you, and then I'll clean up when I'm done. I mean, you need help, so I'll just help. I'll put the stuff off the thing onto the stack and speed things up for you." And so I was just visiting with him there, and he says, "You know what? I want to tell you something." I said, "What is that?" He said, "You know how we pick on you?" "Do I know?" He said, "I'm sorry, I don't know why I do that." He says, "But I respect you." He says, "But, you know, when the rest of the crowd does it, I'm kind of afraid not to." And I'm going like, wait a minute. What's that tattoo? Go ask them about it. Yeah, I was in the Hell's Angels gang. I said, are they really mean as they sound to be? He said, well, they're no, they're regular people, you know. And I learned some things from that. And I'd ask him all the things. I said, well, how can a big guy like you be afraid? He said, that's why I respect you. You're a little guy who takes a stand. Is it worth it, young person? Because it's going to take a stand. And so he's telling Timothy, here is where it's at. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I could cover that, but we're out of time, and that's not where God wanted me to go today. That was for me. That's how I'm to preach. But it just says here, look at verse 3. Because remember, you are at a crossroad in your life right now. Either you're going to take a stand, or you're not. Where is the other side? Because is there a middle ground here? Can I half take a stand and half live in the world? You'll bounce from one to the other, but you'll never be solid. And here's what's going to happen. If you don't choose to take a stance, you're going to end up going the way verse 3 says. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, the first time that God says something in His Word to you and it means you're going to have to change your life, you have a decision to make. What's the decision? Change or don't, right? I don't have to, or I will. So can everyone make the choice of I don't have to? And that's what it says here. There's people who make the choice of I don't have to do what God says, and so I'm not going to. It says so here, it'll come when they won't endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to what God says, because sound doctrine is what God says is to be true. And they said, so I'm not going to listen to God? Guess what? You've just shut the door. Christian, please don't ever say no to God. Every Christian that says no to God stops in their daily growth. You're in dangerous ground because God won't go any further with you until you say yes in that area. But anyway, back to the point here in wrapping this up. Here it's saying that either you'll say yes to God or you'll go after the lusts of the flesh. In other words, it's either what you want God or what I want God. Did you see how clear that is right here in this passage? He's telling young Timothy that everyone comes to a decision in their life where either they choose to serve God first or to serve themselves. Can you put God somewhere on the side in your life without it affecting you? Well, here's what happens. It says, they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What's fables? Stories. Made up stuff. Make you feel good. How many of you like to hear a good story? You ever like to hear the made-up stories? I like to hear a good story. But I don't want to hear a story when it comes to my life. I want to know the truth. And so when it comes to gospel, I want to know what God's Word says and not some story. Where do you want to be in life? Because if you tell God no, guess what you're going to start looking for? You're going to look for a preacher who will get up and say, do what you want to do. I'm not going to hear that preacher Pepple anymore because he always preaches God says this and I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to listen to him because I don't like to hear it. The point of the matter is, who said it? Who tacked up the billboard on the wall in the preaching? The King. The King of Kings. So if you don't want to hear God's Word, that's a warning sign. What direction are you going? It says here, Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. My job is to preach the Word of God, no matter what. And I have a statement here in my Bible, you know what? It is a rare person who wants to hear what he doesn't want to hear. Does that make sense? Let me say it again. It is a rare person who wants to hear what he doesn't want to hear. Most of us want us to have people tell us what we want to hear. You know, like, I just got my hair done. What do you think? How many of you want them to say, like, oh, that's terrible? You know, and then when ladies go around, they ask everybody, what do you think of my hairdo? I just got it done. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, thank you for being honest. It's more like, oh, you hate me. I hate you. That's because we want to hear what we want to hear. The same thing goes spiritually. So don't be deceiving your own selves. And so that's why I put the title of message is, are you honest with yourself? Do you really want to hear what's best for you in your life? Or do you want to go on and serve what the flesh wants? Because today is the day of decision. Jesus said that. Today is the day. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be the result of the decision you made today. So, in closing, my friend, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, What is your choice today? Are you going to take that tough stand, or are you going to go with the flow? I know what I hope you'll do. I really do. I hope that you'll go and take a stand. So let's go ahead and close with hymn number 306 as we stand. The Lord spoke to your heart. Yield your life to Him today. Whatever He spoke to you on, just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be instant, in season, and out of season.